message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you joined us today. And we trust that our time together as we look into Romans chapter number 8 will be a blessing to you. Be a time where you'll have some understanding, maybe new light and understanding on the Word of God. The Bible's the Word of God, and the Bible's a wonderful book, and it's a marvelous book because it's God's book. And our desire and our purpose on this Bible study program is to help you to understand some things in the Word of God, to enjoy those things because you understand them, and then to see those things go to work in your life as you by faith rest in them, and they work in you for God's glory. The Bible says that, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, that it's the Word of God that works effectually in you that believe. The thing that'll take God's Word and turn it loose in your life to empower your life and to work in your life is your faith resting in it. The only response grace will accept is faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as we're in Romans chapter number 8, we want to consider some things here today about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've said to you as we've been studying through just the foundation principles of grace laid down in the book of Romans, that you come all the way to Romans chapter 8 before you find the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. There are seven chapters in the book of Romans that deal with the basic doctrines of grace. And it's not until you come to Romans chapter number 8 that you begin to have the ministry of the Spirit laid out for you in a personal way. The Holy Spirit, in fact, is only mentioned one time in the book of Romans prior to chapter number 8. In chapter 8 alone, he's mentioned some 19 times. So what we're dealing with when we get to Romans 8 is the walk of the believer in the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 6, we saw we're to live and walk consistent with our position in Christ. Romans 7, we're to walk and live consistent with the program of God's grace. We're not under the law, but we're under grace. We have a new identity in Christ. We're placed under a new program, the program of grace. And now we're to live in a new power, the power of the Spirit of God. So, in fact, the key to the Christian life, the secret to the Christian life on a daily basis is in the passage we're reading here today. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. Perhaps you have a Bible. And you can sit with us and study with us as you view the program. If you don't have a Bible or you can't get one right now, maybe you're in a position and place where you can't do that, remember the passage, will you? Romans chapter 8. And when you get an opportunity, study with us. But you'll get the most help out of our time together if you can sit there in front of your television with a Bible in hand and look at the verses. There's something marvelous about looking at the verses in a Bible. I preach on the radio, and I preach on the TV, of course, and in a local assembly and in Bible conferences, and I do a lot of personal work with people. And I've noticed through the years that when people open up the Scripture and look at the verses themselves, God's Word has an impact in your life that it can have no other way. And I hope you'll take the time to have a Bible open before you and get a King James Bible, get the Word of God, and look at the verses as we read them. We're reading Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 9. Paul says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." That's a definitive statement. Every child of God, every person who's come by faith to God through Jesus Christ, you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you trust Christ as your Savior, God saves you. And one of the marvelous things that He does the moment you trust Christ is He sends His Spirit to indwell you. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up His residence, His abode in the hearts of believers. And if a person doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, it's because you're not saved. And if you are saved, then He indwells you. Now, maybe you didn't know it. Maybe you didn't feel Him when He came in. You didn't sense Him. You didn't have any outward external evidence. The only way you know about it is in the Word of God. Maybe today, from that verse of Scripture, you're learning for the first time that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, in the person of His Spirit, lives within you. That's a wonderful thing to know. definitive statement. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, then it's because you're lost. You can be saved. All you have to do is trust Christ as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then the Spirit of God comes and takes up his abode in the heart of the believer. You see, God doesn't save you and then say, now you go out and live for me. Because you couldn't live the Christian life, and you know you can't, even when you try. Only God himself, only the Lord Jesus Christ can live his life in and through you. So God sends the Spirit of Christ into us to live in us. And that's why the next verse says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's important to understand the issue here. When he says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, and we've already studied this in the book of Romans, and Romans chapter number 6 is very clear, that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, you and I died with him. We were crucified together with him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. Romans chapter number 6, he says, what? Know you not as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. That has nothing to do with the water ceremony. That the baptism in Romans 6 verse 3 has nothing to do with something that a preacher performs for you. No preacher, no priest, no pastor, no other person could ever put you into Jesus Christ with some water ceremony. I realize that there are some folks, you know, they're sort of hyperbolic. They hear the word baptize and they say, water? You know, like that's all the only kind of baptism there is in the Word of God. There are at least 7 different major kinds of baptisms in the Word of God. In fact, there are about 12 altogether. 7 of them are major ones. So there are a lot of different kinds of baptisms in the Bible. Anytime you read the word baptize in your Bible, you want to ask, which kind, which one? Well, this one is by one, he says that Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. This is the baptism into Christ that puts you into Christ. That would have to be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. If you never wrote down in the margin of your Bible by Romans 6, 3, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, then why don't you do so right now? That'll remind you about where that verse is. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Paul says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. What's the body? The body of Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into Jesus Christ. Not by a preacher, not by a priest, not by a ceremony of a water ceremony of some kind, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. There is the baptism by the Spirit into of the believer into Christ. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit takes you and places you into the person of Jesus Christ. And we've talked about this time and again. You get a new identity in Christ. You're placed into Him. You're taken out of Adam, and you're placed into living oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're made one with Him. And everything that belongs to Him, when you're made a part of His body, everything that belongs to Him belongs to you. His death becomes your death. And so he says in Romans 8, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin. You and I died with Christ at Calvary, and our sins were placed upon Him, and we died once unto sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we were raised with Him. We're dead to sin, but we are alive unto God. And he says that the body is dead because of sin. Sin produces death. The wages of sin is death. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God's justice. And that's why you have to get the first part of the book of Romans, that first foundation principle of justification by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ in the first 5 chapters. Because what he's doing in Romans 8 is building upon that truth of the finality of the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. God's justice can give eternal life to anyone who has perfect righteousness. God made him to be sin for us, that we might be, the one who knew no sin was made our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And in Christ, we have absolute perfect righteousness. We have the righteousness of God given to us because we are in Christ. And God looks down today at me or at you if you're a believer, and he doesn't see me or you, he sees his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made accepted in the Beloved One. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So when He puts us in Christ here, we not only die with Him, but we are given life. We're given His life because of the righteousness, because of the new identity that God gives us in His Son. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You see, we have life in the Spirit. There is a life that God gives to us in Christ. The old life is put away. The old self is put away. Sin is put away. His righteousness is given to us. And because of that, Christ is our life. And that life is ours in the Spirit, in the activity of what God the Holy Spirit is doing. The reality of the resurrection life of Christ is ours, and it dwells in us as the Spirit of God dwells and works in us. We're not a debtor, he says, to the flesh. That's the old life. In fact, he says there in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. I mean, folks, the flesh is where sin comes from. It's the old life. It's the self life. And that produces death. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. What he's talking about there, and we've talked about this time and again, is that you have, there are three parts to a person. There's a body, there's a soul, and you have a spirit. God the Holy Spirit comes in and gives life to your spirit, your dead spirit, when you get saved, and Christ dwells in you here. If you walk after the flesh, after the old life over here where sin dwells, the body of sin, if you follow the dictates of the old life, then death is the product of that. Your life disintegrates. But if you by faith walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the Spirit and you mortify, you put to death, you ignore, you don't pay any attention to there's the issue of faith, a faith choice here, a faith walk. Of walking in the Spirit over here. And when you do that, then what happens is your life produces the fruits of righteousness. The righteous position that God gives you in Christ begins to live, that righteousness of God begins to live out through you here as you walk in the Spirit, that is, as you follow the dictates of God the Holy Spirit, and as you mortify, you don't pay attention to, you mind the things of the Spirit. It all has to do with what goes on in your head. In the mentality of your soul, in the thinking processes of your heart. It has to do with walking after the Spirit and experiencing in your life, being able to take the members of your body and yield them to God as those that are alive from the dead. Now somebody says, well, preacher, how in the world do you do that? All that's nice and wonderful and you can draw a chart about it, but how do you do it? Well, what it's called, come with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Another way that this thing is described is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. He says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now here's somebody who's already saved. You don't resurrect yourself, but they've gone to sleep at the switch. They've quit thinking. They've quit using their mind and walking by faith. They've been walking in the flesh. And he says, hey, wake up. Wake up. Well, how are you going to wake up and become alert? Verse 18, be not drunk with wine when it's excess. By the way, wine will put you to sleep. Makes you droggy. You don't use your mind well. But be filled with the Spirit. The issue of walking in the Spirit and minding the things of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit is also called being filled with the Spirit. Now the terminology filled with the Spirit, hold your hand here and come to Colossians chapter number 1. To be filled with something is to be controlled by it. That's the reason he uses the parallel the contrast. Be not drunk with wine. Don't be controlled with wine. Don't have wine control your life and dominate you and take possession of you. But be filled, be controlled by, be possessed by, if you will, the Spirit of God. For example, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled, there's the word, filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When something is filled, it's just completely saturated with it and controlled by something and gripped by it. You go back into the gospel accounts and the Lord tells His disciples that He's going to leave them. And the Bible says that they were filled with sorrow. What does that mean? That means sorrow came and grief came and just gripped them and held them and controlled them. And what they did was based upon the sorrow that held them fast and possessed them. Be filled with the Spirit. Be possessed with the Spirit. And somebody says, well, how in the world do you do that? There's a lot of discussion about that, you know. People say, well, you know, you gotta speak in tongues, you know, be a tongue talker. Or you got to have some miraculous demonstration, or you got to do this or that or the next thing. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit, and how do you do it? And somebody says, well, you know, you got to confess all your sins, and you got to go pray and ask God to give it to you, and you have to do this, that. Being filled with the Spirit is not a complicated formula that if you do these six things, then God will give you His blessing and His filling. Folks, we live under grace. In the dispensation of grace, we live in a system where you don't have to beg God to give you something. God already gave it all to you in Christ. He's already given you the position in Christ Jesus. What you and I have to simply do is by faith appropriate what God already has given to us by faith. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, being filled with the Spirit is not that difficult to understand. If you'll take Ephesians chapter 5 in one hand and Colossians chapter number 3, I'll show you how to figure the thing out real easy. The book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians are sister epistles. Paul will say one thing in Ephesians and then he'll say it again in Colossians. Generally speaking, he will say it in a more amplified form in Ephesians and then in a much more abbreviated form in the book of Colossians. In fact, I'll give you an example. In Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 13, Paul says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses." When he says that you were dead in your sins, that is a capsulized heading that could be placed over Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 1 to 10. 10 whole verses in Ephesians is capsulized in one expression in Colossians. The uncircumcision of your flesh, that's another way to say what Ephesians 2 verse 11 through 22 say. The second half of Ephesians chapter 2 is capsulized in one expression in Colossians 2:13. Oftentimes, and if you're going to understand Colossians 2:13, you're going to have to go back and study Ephesians chapter 2 to get the amplification. So that happens over and over, where Ephesians will say something, Colossians will echo it. Colossians will say something, Ephesians will echo it, and perhaps amplify on it. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 22, there is a series of things, instructions that Paul gives that are the result of of being filled with the Spirit. That series of things that Paul lists is echoed in Colossians chapter 3. I want you to see it. You notice Ephesians 5 verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, but be wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Notice that that one of the first demonstrations of being filled with the Spirit is that you're going to speak. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues. He talks about speaking to yourself. There's going to be some inner harmony, some peace and harmony down inside. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father of in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that thankful heart attitude of grace motivation. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. The summation of the fullness of the Christian life is summed up in those three virtues that are the direct result of being filled and possessed and controlled by the Spirit of God. What the Holy Spirit's going to do is produce the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Now, having said that, he says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Notice, he tells them to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And then he tells them some specific areas in which they are to be filled and how it's going to work. First, he talks about wives. Be filled with the Spirit. And here's how it'll work. Verse 25, husbands. Next thing is that works is husbands. Love your wives. Chapter 6, verse number 1, children. Obey your parents. Chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children. Chapter 6, verse number 5, servants, be not men pleasers. Then in chapter 6, verse number 9, masters, they're to do well in all things and treat the servants right. So being filled with the Spirit is going to manifest itself, Paul says, in a prescribed social order among wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, masters. Colossians chapter number 3. Now notice, you're going to see in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 18, he starts out with the same thing. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. So in Colossians 3, he's going to start the same list. Wives, submit yourselves. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Verse number 20, children, obey your parents. Verse number 21, fathers, provoke not your children. See the comparison? Ephesians says it, Colossians says it. Ephesians says it, Colossians says it. Ephesians says it, Colossians says it. Ephesians says it, Colossians echoes it. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters. So he picks up the servants. Then in chapter number 4, verse number 1, masters, give unto your servants. So he picks that up. You've got a perfect contrast over here. Ephesians says it, Colossians echoes it. Ephesians says it, Colossians echoes it. Now, being filled with the Spirit produces these things among these people. Those things, those products are listed in Colossians the same way. But notice in Colossians how he begins this list. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father by Him. There are the same things that he told you in Ephesians chapter 5 would be the characteristics of being filled with the Spirit. You're to sing and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, just as you're to sing in your own hearts unto the Lord in spiritual songs and hymns and so forth, making melody in your heart. You're to whatever you do in word or deed, you're to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to submit yourselves one to another. You're to give thanks to God and the Father by Him. You're to be giving thanks. There's a comparison. But notice how he begins the thing in Colossians. In Colossians, he doesn't say, be filled with the Spirit. What does he say? He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now look at what he's doing. He takes one thing, repeats it. Takes a thing, repeats it. Takes a thing, repeats it. Takes a thing, repeats it. States the thing, repeats it. States the thing, repeats it. You know what he's doing up here? He states, be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians, and in Colossians, he restates the thing, in other words, and says, be filled with the Spirit, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know something, folks? Being filled with the Spirit is another way of saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is another way of saying, be filled with the Spirit. What am I saying to you? Folks, the Spirit of God fills your life and controls your life and takes possession of your life and saturates your life and produces His life through you, through the instrumentality of the Word of Christ dwelling in you. God's Word settling down and feeling at home. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. As you are controlled by an objective understanding, as you do what Colossians 3 says, set your affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. As your mind and your heart are controlled by an intelligent, objective understanding of what the Word of God says about who God has made you in Christ, as your life is controlled by faith in the truth of God's love and God's grace to you in Christ, then your life is filled with, controlled by, God the Holy Spirit. If you want the Spirit of God to control your life today, then you need to have the love and grace of God to you in Christ be the thing that controls your thinking. You need to comprehend with all the saints what is the riches, what is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of this truth, so you can know what is the love of Christ. You see, as the love of Christ controls you, God the Holy Spirit is controlling you as you walk by faith in an intelligent understanding of His Word to you, the riches of His grace to you in Christ. Folks, that's why we study the Bible, is to have God the Holy Spirit have the means whereby He can control our life as we simply walk by faith in His love and grace to us in Christ. It's not some ecstatic experience. It's just faith in God's Word and then having God's Word be what it is to us, and that is our authority. Thanks for listening today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, What It Means to be Spirit-Filled. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 278. That's tape offer number 278. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we next time for another Message of Grace.